Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Bring in James Hamm. Hammer, what's up, man?
What's going on, guys?
None, man. We having some fun at the expense of some bad football teams. We've got media days going on all across the NBA. Let's bring in an NBA conversation real quick before we talk about the Sacramento Kings. One of the teams that has had media day is New Orleans. And obviously there are pictures everywhere with videos, Zion. Look at the shape that he's in, all of these different things. Joe Dumars was talking, I think it was to Mark Spears earlier this week, and Joe was talking about how we want Zion to be a leader, and like he's taking the initiative to be more of a leader and do all of these different things, you know, this offseason, and that's what we're really looking for him to take the next step. And I was starting to think, like, we're like 5 years into this thing. Is that Zion? Like, is Zion a leader like that? Are you barking up the wrong tree, Joe?
Yeah. You know what? Like, I think there are a lot of ways you can lead, right? We always talked about this with De'Aaron Fox. But I think one of the biggest things, in order to be a leader, you have to be available and you have to take your job seriously. And for whatever reason, there have been too many times early in his career where I don't think Zion did take it serious. I don't think he really understood sort of the assignment and who he needed to be an NBA player and to be a star. You know, he's had off the court stuff. He clearly is struggled with weight gain and, you know, just staying in reasonable shape. I mean, there aren't other NBA superstars in the league right now that have weight clauses in their contract, and he does. So, like, look, I don't think if you're the Pelicans, it's tough to abandon ship because they know as well as everybody else in the league does, the second that you trade him, he's going to play three seasons straight of, you know, 75 games and you're going to look like the idiot. So I like that they're sort of putting all their chips in with him and saying, hey, let's build around him a little bit. But I also look at a guy like Kevon Looney that joined that team and think, okay, that might be a guy who can reach Zion. They can have honest discussions with Zion about what it is to be a professional, what it takes to win championships, all that stuff. And, you know, maybe a little bit of this is that he just needed that. He needed somebody who is in his ear the whole time. And, you know, you would have thought that maybe CJ McCollum would have been one of those guys. You know, I also add this. I think there is Joe Dumars like instantly made some crazy moves on draft night and became sort of a laughing stock, to be honest with you, around the league. A lot of people around the league are like, what in the world is he doing? Why would you possibly trade an unprotected pick when you're not good? Mm-hmm. And I get all that, but at the same time, it feels like the age of people catering to Zion and allowing him to do whatever he wants to do and just kind of like putting your hands up in the air and saying, well, there's nothing we can really do about this. I think that's over. And the, you know, babying him, letting him play, you know, 35, 40 games a year, not letting him play on the second night of back-to-backs. I think all that's over. And, you know, now we'll get to see, are you a ball player or are you not? Are you someone who can play, you know, 70 plus games that can help your team win? Or are you a guy who's going to once again fall into the same bad habits that got you to the place you're at in the first place?
Everything you said, spot on, James. The one thing I would say when it comes to Zion or any of these young guys, you know, fourth, fifth, sixth year in the league, is nowadays they're getting drafted younger and younger, you know, than what we traditionally think of rookies and all this other stuff. And Zion, you know, with the fame that takes place because of social media and the way, you know, highlights, and we know about these kids at 12, 13 years old, maybe there's some maturing that needs to happen when you come into the league that we didn't necessarily see from traditional rookies, you know, when we started watching the league, when they were 21, 22 years old. And it is possible sometimes where these guys, by the time you get to Zion's, the part of his career, you start to look at things a little different. He's, what, about 24, 25 years old? Like, all right, well, now I can't just go out there and have any kind of diet, or I can't just not stretch and play well, or I can't just say that I'm a leader. I have to actually make sure I'm available. Maybe these things start to click a little later into their NBA career because they get started so young than we're accustomed to. So that might be the case with Zion, where things start clicking later than we're normal. We're used to seeing these guys see that happen for them.
No, I'm with you, and I think everyone's different. I would say that, like, look, you know, I know I lived through the age where high school kids got drafted all the time, you know, the LeBron James, the Kevin Garnett era, you know, where guys didn't go to college at all. And sure, do you have like some growing up issues here and there? Okay. I just think that, you know, Zion is a unique case. And I also don't think that that franchise, the way that things have gone the last few years, the last 5 years, this whole entire time in the league, it hasn't really been like everyone's bought in thing. You know, the Saints are what's important there in New Orleans. Mardi Gras is what's important in New Orleans. The Pelicans aren't. And it's also a pretty destructive city for a young guy. You know, it's like living in Las Vegas for a lot of Raiders players. You know, there's a lot of temptation. There's a lot of really, really, really good food. You know, that's kind of the nature of where he went coming out of college. I think that a change of scenery would help him a lot. And I still think that we'll have to wait and see what he looks like. But even like I saw someone in the chat mention, I think it was Manny, mentioned, well, you know, he's injury prone, whether he has weight issues or not. It's like, no, like, yeah, he has injury issues, but a lot of them are weight aided. And if he wasn't such a big guy, if he didn't carry so much extra weight, you know, he's got over 300 pounds multiple times. You know, if it wasn't for that, you know, maybe he doesn't have foot injuries. Maybe he doesn't have, like, I think he had a Liz Frank injury fracture in his foot. Like, that's something that, you know, it's not fair because he's just predisposed to be a bigger guy, you know, to have weight issues of whether he was playing basketball or not. But the fact that he is playing basketball and that he's such a leaper and he does all of these things, you know, he has to do everything in his power to get as lean as possible. And he just hasn't done the work consistently throughout his career.
Real quick, to be fair to Zion, just a little bit, apparently there was something weird going on with the organization, because how many times did he come out and say, I want to play more, like, I'm okay to play more, they won't let me
this
out
season.
Here doing 360 windmills and all this other stuff. Yeah. The year before that, though, I don't think that was a weight issue when he was dominating that playing game and he pulled his hamstring. Like, it may or may not have been, but pulled hamstrings happen to skinny people too. So, you know, it may be the weight. It may just
Mike
be.
Mike Evans got to cut weight, man.
Yeah.
Got to cut weight.
It may be the weight. It may just be bad luck.
Yeah. No, I get what you're saying. It can be both. But he's played 24. He's played 61. He didn't play at all. Then he played 29. He played 70. And he played 30. 30 games last year. You know, he's had four seasons out of his six-year career where he's played 30 games or less. And he's only played 61 and 70 in the other two seasons. I mean, that's just, you know, that's not a ball player, unfortunately. It's a novelty act when he's available. But the fact is that, you know, availability is one of the best abilities there are. And he's proven that he can't do it. And, you know, I get what you're saying, whether he's skinny or not, but he really hasn't tested that all that that often. Like right now, he's in great shape. He's been in great shape a couple of times before. But, you know, it's tough, you know, and like, I don't envy his situation because we're talking about like genetics. Some of it is self-discipline and all that stuff, but a lot of it is genetics. I mean, you know, like we had Caleb Swanigan here in Sacramento, and he struggled with weight his entire life, you know, dating all the way back to being like a homeless kid at age 5 or 6. And he got in the best shape of his life here in Sacramento, came into camp looking great. And then you turn around and there's like, he was heavy again. And unfortunately, you know, he passed away a couple of years ago, but you know, like just because he's a basketball player that just happens to be a big guy. And that's, it's kind of, you know, again, it's kind of unfair. It's what makes him great is that he's physical and he's stronger than everybody else, but it also what puts him up for, you know, being injured all the time.
But with those glimpses of greatness, those moments where you're like, where you watch like, oh my God, that's why Joe Dumars is going to try to find a way to motivate him. That's why the Pelicans are going to find a way to rationalize why they keep sticking through this, because the second it clicks, man, you've got one of the best players in the league, like right there on your basketball team.
Hey, totally. And it's why there are a bunch of teams that are lining up saying, okay, if New Orleans gives up, we're not going to. And, you know, one of those teams was the Sacramento Kings. The Kings have had plenty of discussions in the past where it's like, you know, I don't know if they've called and like got into full, you know, negotiations with the Pelicans, but they certainly have had discussions, you know, within the walls there about, you know, if he becomes available. And, you know, again, I don't know if that's going to happen or not. But, you know, if it doesn't work this year for Zion, I think it's probably time what's best for him and best for the organization for him to go find somewhere else to play. Because that's just kind of, you know, like you get stuck in a rut and he's a player that needs, you know, something different.
I think we asked this question a couple weeks ago about, I forgot what the trade was, but just, would you take a chance on Zion? And in the Kings situation where you need a jolt of energy or you need a little star power and you need a little luck, yeah, I'd probably take a chance on Zion. Everything that James just broke down for the last 15 minutes is 100% on point. And even with all that, I was like, I'll take a chance. Because when he does play, he's literally unstoppable.
Well, yeah, that, and I don't think he would be a good fit alongside Domas. But outside of that issue, like, look, he is super dangerous. And, you know, the Kings have had a great track record, especially the last 5 years. Joe Nolan does a great job. His staff does a great job of keeping this team on the right path and being vigilant about health and fitness and, you know, having a full chef on staff at all times to make sure that these guys are staying on their dietary stuff and everything else. So, yeah, I mean, sometimes it is just a change of scenery that can make the difference in a player's career. And then again, sometimes, you know, you get a new place and he could all of a sudden get out of control again and just his career could peter out very quickly. So just kind of a tough situation, but I think everybody in the league is kind of pulling for him to get healthy because you want to see what he can do and you want to see him have success.
Kings Media Day is on Monday. Practice will begin on Tuesday. And, you know, there's been a lot of talk about players and fit and all that different stuff. Hammer, what do you think Doug's mission is entering his first practice as the official head coach of the Sacramento Kings, his first ever training camp practice on Tuesday?
Yeah, I mean, in all honesty, like I've talked to him about this, and it's like number one and first and foremost, it's defense. Like, he is going to not only scheme up the defensive side of the ball as best as he can. And again, that's not because Mike Brown didn't scheme defensively, but Mike Brown is known as a great defensive coach and couldn't get this team over the hump defensively. But I think Doug's focus is not just on schematic stuff. It's not just like we're going to run this style of defense today and this style of defense next, or the way that they, they show on a 3-point shot or any of that. He wants to teach the fundamentals of defense. You know, he is a player. When he was a player, he was an outstanding defender, like an all NBA defender. He's the guy who had to defend Kobe Bryant. We all know how good he was defensively. And I think he is going to get into sort of the nitty gritty of basics of defense and say, look, we're going to play defense. And if you're not going to play defense, you're going to have a reduced role on this team. Now, how he's going to enforce that, I don't know. Because like some of the players that don't typically play defense or aren't strong defensive players for this franchise are extremely important players. And like, I don't know what you do about Zach LaVine. I don't know what you do about Malik Monk. I don't know what you do about DeMar DeRozan. And certainly three of them being in your top six rotation wise, that makes it really difficult. So you're going to have to work around it. And the other thing you're going to have to do is, you know, it's one thing to coach everyone differently, because there's a way in which you can coach your team all the same and you can coach individuals differently at the same time. And Doug is going to have to walk that fine line. He's going to have to coach up, you know, even veteran players that haven't been known as defensive players. And then he's going to have a standard that fits for everybody. So you can have individual conversations and you can work with guys and try to make them better. But at the end of the day, if you're losing games because someone's not doing their job and not playing defensively on the defensive side of the ball, then there are going to have to be tough decisions that are made. And I'm hoping that Doug has all the backing in the world to do that. And I think he does. But also that he feels comfortable doing it, because it's not easy. You know, it's sometimes it's the equivalent to firing people, and that's not fun. It's not easy to have difficult discussions with players who have, you know, gone throughout their entire career playing 32 to 35 minutes a night and say, hey, look, you can't keep up with what we want to do defensively. I can't put you out there for those minutes. You're going to have to earn your minutes like everybody else. And so that's going to be, I think, one of the toughest challenges Doug faces this season.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Do you think that to a certain degree, people haven't given Doug the opportunity to work with this roster, work with what he has on this roster, and kind of use his basketball expertise and his people skills to try and make the Kings better than people give him a chance to be? We look at the fit, we look at the players around him, and we just say it just doesn't work. Well, let Doug Christie see what he can do with these guys, see what he can, what positions he can put them in, and use his basketball knowledge and, just, like I said, his ability to relate with people and just as a coach before this team gets dismissed the way they have been so far in the offseason.
Yeah, I mean, it's a tough question because, like, look, Doug has been here for a long time. I mean, Doug and I worked together at NBC, and just so you know, during that entire time, Doug had, like, incredible relationships with multiple players. Like, he would go have sit-down conversations with players all the time. Like, him and De'Aaron Fox would have sit-down conversations when Doug was a broadcaster. You know, Doug has been around this team. He was an assistant for 2.5 years under Mike, and he was an assistant under Luke Walton for a year before that. So some of these players have literally been around Doug, you know, for a couple of years, you know, but all the work he does with Domas and all that stuff. So I think that, yeah, it is possible to sit here and, you know, have Doug work one-on-one or even in the past work one-on-one with a player and say, hey, I don't like what you're doing with your hands in this situation. I need you, you know, to like, Doug works very like on minutia, right? When he talks to players, when it's about like, how did you defend Kobe Bryant? Well, this is what I did. And some players listen, some don't. I don't think that there was like some overwhelming thing of like Mike Brown had something against Doug Christie and was holding him back from talking to players or anything like that. I mean, heaven forbid he sent him out with the all-stars with their all-star center multiple times for an entire summer to work with him. So I do believe that there wasn't a trust in what Doug can teach. But when you're a head coach, you're not as much a teacher as you'd like to be. And I think that's what Doug is realizing right now, is that the job is so much more. It's so much more complicated. It's so much more delegation and trying to figure out how to get players better without literally sitting there holding their hand and trying to get them through a situation and make them better. And it's going to be a learning process for Doug because he wants to be hands-on the whole time. And that's just not the job of an NBA head coach. You have 8 million other jobs that you've got to be dealing with, including the media relations staff, your relationships with media. You got to deal with the officials. You got to deal with your own staff and how they're developing. You got to deal with the G League and what's going on there and how you want your program run through at that level. So when players come up, they're ready. You got to deal with the front office. You got to deal with commitments like, hey, we need you to go out and do this event. And, you know, all of these things, it is a massive undertaking. And if you've ever managed people, every level of management has like a varying degree of difficulty, but when you're running an entire store, you know, I would even relay it to like when I worked grocery, when I was super young, like a store director at a grocery store, he's got to be on top of the butcher block and all the meat stuff. He's got to be on top of the produce section, the you know, the general merchandise stuff, the liquor department. There's so many different things that, like, as basketball people, we're looking at, we're not seeing. The training staff, the medical staff, all of those things fall under what Doug, he's part of every single one of those pieces. And it's a really, really big job. So yeah, I would like to say that Doug is going to go in there and, you know, work with Zach LaVine for 3 months, and Zach LaVine's going to go from like a negative defender to a league average or a plus defender. That's just really difficult to do. He doesn't have the time.
Well, and that's the other thing, Hammer. Like, I understand and have had, you know, a brief conversation or two with Doug and him talking about defense and what he's going to ask them to do and what his expectations are of them. But there's probably also a certain point where Doug's got to recognize, like, what is this roster I have? What do they do well? And there's also going to be a component of maximizing what they do the best while trying to get them to play on this other side of the ball that maybe they haven't been the best at or haven't focused a lot of attention on or just haven't come up with the right scheme for them to collectively do together. Like, there's a fine line that Doug has to walk there, and he has to figure out that line relatively quickly.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I think it's the one of the most difficult things is, Kenny, you're like, hey, can Doug step in and do this, this, and this? It's like, what Doug can't do is he can't shoot a 3-point shot. What he can't do is he can't go out and trade for somebody. Like, and so there are going to be limitations to a roster. Every roster has limitations in one way or another. Very few rosters in the NBA are created 100% perfect. And even when they are, so like the Boston Celtics a couple of years ago, it's fleeting. You know, players get older, players get injured, you know, players don't shoot as well as they did the year before. And so you're in this constant battle. But I think this season in particular, and, you know, this isn't a Scott Perry issue. This isn't, it's just the way that things worked out. This roster has fundamental flaws, and you're going to have to figure out how to hide those fundamental flaws in an NBA that everyone is moving one direction, and you're going to have to be sort of an outlier because they just don't have the floor spacing and the shooting that most teams in the league have. You know, we talk about it all the time. Like, you can have an absolutely outstanding defender. And, you know, whether it's like even like a Casey Akpala type guy who is just a wonderful defender, Mo Harkless, spectacular defender. But if they're not good enough to play on the court, if they can't stay on the court, it doesn't help you to have them on your roster sitting on the bench. And I'd say the same thing about, you know, you got your second or third best 3-point shooter on this team is Doug McDermott. Like, this isn't to disparage Doug at all, but how are you going to get Doug McDermott on the floor? And if you can't get him on the floor, like, you're down to like three legitimate shooters. And that's just not easy to deal with. Malik Monk has to be a better shooter this year. Domantas Sabonis has to shoot more than 2.3 threes a game or whatever it was. And that's like, there is a fundamental flaw to this team. And the one thing I'll point to is, when Doug took over this team, he had a lot of the same offensive ideas that Mike Brown did. And it was just, he wanted more. He wanted 40 to 50 threes a game. I don't know how you can get to that number with this roster. And so, like, that's going to be a gigantic hurdle. It's not just that they have defensive limitations. It's, you know, we talked about this, but we went through the list of, you know, all the best shot blockers on this team, and it's Keegan Murray's number one at like 69 blocks. Number two was Keon Ellis. Number three is Malik Monk. Number four is DeMar DeRozan. The fifth best shot blocking number on this team was Domantas Sabonis. And it was at like 23 blocks last season. Like, this team they're not built to play small ball because they don't have that defensive anchor on the back line. And so when you mix that with the fact that they don't have a bunch of 3-point shooters and they don't have a bunch of great defenders, like, there are some structural issues at this roster that you just can't hide. And it's going to be a really, really difficult job for Doug to figure it out. And hopefully he's able to, but, you know, even go back to the great teams of the early 2000s that Doug played on, every single one of the guys in the starting five could shoot the three. And it wasn't even the same NBA. Like, the spacing was totally different then. Now the game is so spaced out. And if you can't space out the floor, you're going to be in trouble. And so there are a lot of things to consider here that make it difficult for just to say, hey, there's a ton of talent on this team. They should win 50 games. It's not as simple as that. Basketball is a lot more complex than it looks like than just five guys running around, you know, passing the ball around.
Kings basketball just days away. We'll talk more with our insider from the insiders. It's our man James Hamm here with D'Lo and KC on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Went and grabbed my green juice and got back just enough time to hear James talk about how much he doesn't like DeMar DeRozan. That's not true. That's
no.
Not what James said. I was kidding, James.
So James did say something during the break that told him to just hold off and I wanted to ask him and everybody else a question when we got back on the air. And he made a comment. He was like, man, I hope, you know, I'm pleasantly surprised. Like, I hope that I'm wrong. And this is, you know, one of the most potent offenses in the game. And, you know, I'm just wrong about all this. And the offense is great. And my question, which is something that we kind of asked earlier in the show, and me and Damian, we're just looking around like, what are we missing? Why does it have to be such polar opposites with what this team is going to be and what mm-hmm. they're going to do? Why does it have to be they're going to be terrible on offense and they're going to be no good? Or actually, you're wrong. I think this offense can be elite and they're going to win 50 games. What are we missing? Where it's just like, nah, they're going to have some good nights and they're going to have some bad nights. It's probably going to lead to them winning about 41, 42 games. Why is nobody else seemingly looking at this team in that premise? It's just either is a disaster and people are going to be sold off, or we're going to be dead wrong. They're going to be this great team.
I mean, there's always potential for the middle ground. I mean, I get what you're saying. And you know, a 41 win team is mediocre on offense, mediocre on defense usually, or they're really good offensively, but they're horrible defensively.
Or they're pretty good on offense, above average, and a little below average on defense. Like, it doesn't have to be they're great on offense, terrible on defense. It could just be their offense is pretty good, but defense, they're lower the pack, and that's what keeps them from being a 50-win team.
Yeah, I mean, I think what I told you, too, during the break was, like, strangely enough, this team looks like a team that's built for the playoffs, right? When the game gets sticky and slows down. Like, this team has a bunch of ability to score in the half court, or at least they should. But that's for 82 games. That's not how this team is built. And so you're going to have to figure out if you can be physical, if you can find ways to be league average or better defensively, if you can find ways to be league average or better offensively. I think the offensive potential is here. And I'm not saying that this is going to be the worst offensive team in the league, but there are always going to be limitations to what you can do when you don't have the proper amount of shooting, especially in the modern NBA. And I think we saw it last year, you know, and Mike Brown kept fighting, like, we have to play defense better because that's what wins in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, the first thing that would come out of Monty McNair's mouth is, hey, we want our offense to be back to where it was 2 years ago. And it's like, okay, well, that's nice and all, but then go get better shooters, because your shooters that you had from 2 years ago, they stopped shooting. They stopped hitting baskets, and that's just not going to work, you know? So, like, there's a lot of give and take that can happen here, and I certainly, like, this is one of those moments where, again, basketball starts on Monday and hope springs eternal, and you hope that somehow that the Kings come out and they capture lightning in a bottle and they're just different than what everybody expects. And they find ways around their deficiencies and don't just go, okay, well, it is what it is. We can't shoot. We're going to lose a whole bunch of games. But there's also the realistic side of it. That's like, you know, you can have the best carpenter in the world set to build you a house. But if you get your lumber shipment and every board is twisted, there's nothing he can do about that. Or if he goes out to his truck and someone stole all of his tools, there's nothing he can do about that. So what you have to be is you have to be realistic about what you're working with here and hope that, you know, Doug can figure out a way and has a game plan to play a different style of basketball than what, like, 95% of the teams in the league are playing right now. And it's possible. Like, I'm not saying it's impossible. And, you know, like, it's not just Doug. Doug is a guy who connects really, really well with people. And I also don't understand why around the league there are people who, you know, just like, oh, well, you know, Doug, like, he's not going to be a good head coach or whatever. To me, that's just garbage. Like, if you've ever talked to Doug, Doug cares, number one, which is huge. He has a very clear vision, but he also just worked 3.5 years as an assistant under two different coaches. Like, he put in the time where some of these guys just get jobs that, you know, like what Chauncey Billups just goes right from talking on TV to being the head coach, you know, with JJ Redick. I mean, he barely touched the TV circuit. He was a podcaster. So yeah, heck of a basketball player, but you know, like, Doug has put in the time and the energy and the work to figure out how to be a good coach and hone his craft under a really, really good coach with a bunch of really good assistants and Mike Brown. And they've also surrounded him with really, really good assistants and Mike Woodson and Mike Miller. Like, you know, again, Bobby Jackson's been in the league a long time now. Like, so I just feel like maybe we are selling him a little bit short, but again, I'm just trying to temper expectation because I can see like a couple of the fatal flaws of this team. And for that matter, I think the front office and the coaching staff can see it too, but they've got to play the games. You know, they've got to go out there, and it doesn't matter what they think about it. Doesn't play on paper. They've got to go out and either win or lose.
Am I can tell you, expectations do not need to be tempered.
They're tempered.
They do not need to be tempered.
Expectations, yes. Not high. You talk about paying attention, like, oh, talk to Doug. Like, forget. Did you dumbasses watch him coach last year? Like, Doug essentially coached a basketball team that had traded their best player, that had fired their head coach out of nowhere, who they had just signed to a contract extension. And then he basically did it by himself. He had coaches leaving. He had GMs leaving. He had another GM who was a dead man walking. You've got the constant stink of this owner and the organization hovering around him. And he still coached to a what had to have been an above 500 record. You don't have to talk to Mike Brown. You don't have to do it. Just watch what he did last year. And that alone should set you like, all right, Doug knows what he's doing in a system, in a situation that was flawed and exhaustive. Doug did a hell of a job. Okay, there's a starting point. Nobody ever starts there. They start in one place, and this is what, whether you like it, I like it, or whether we choose to acknowledge it, it starts in the same place every time, and it's the Kings.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Kings. This organization is a disaster. They made headlines. Mike Brown, De'Aaron Fox, blah, 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 blah. That's Vivek's guy, blah, blah, blah. New York Times, blah, blah, blah. They suck. Has nothing to do with Doug, nothing to do with DeMar, nothing to do with Zach, nothing to do with Domas. You're in Sacramento. You made headlines last year for the wrong reason, so you suck. That's what this is. That's all that this ever is.
Yeah, and to that point, I mean, we went through earlier the ESPN Top 100, and I think last year Domas came in at like 22. This year he comes in at like 34. And, you know, you can say, okay, well, they lost more games, so maybe they're dinging him for that. Man, Domas averaged the same points. He averaged more rebounds. He shot the three ball way better. Like, he was a better player this last year, than he was the year before. Except for the assist numbers. The assist numbers dropped a little bit, and it's part of this whole thing, the narrative that you're the Kings. And there's also a comment here that, you know, again, people know I love my analogies. This is about as spot on as I've ever seen. Campeo Silva says Kings have been buying their tools at Harbor Freight. And I don't know if you guys understand this reference, but Harbor Freight is where you go to buy a tool that you might use one time.
I don't buy tools, James. I call Scooter.
I assume that that's the case, right? But so here's the deal. Like, if you want tools that are going to last, if you want tools that you can actually build multiple things with, then you go down and you buy really good stuff. You spend the extra money. But Harbor Freight is somewhere where, like, man, I got to do this job, and I'm never going to do another job like that ever again. It might be something like small, like, hey, I've got to put linoleum in this little bathroom, and I need a trowel with a little squared edge, and I need a roller to roll out the linoleum, and that I'm never going to do it again. That's when you go to Harbor Freight and you buy a tool that's only going to last you one day. And that's what, it's a great reference, because a lot of times that's what the Kings have been doing. They've been buying the 1 or 2 year fix. Again, not to be like an a-hole about Drew Eubanks, but like Drew Eubanks to me is not a great basketball player.
He has bringing him up. He's never going to play. Why do people keep bringing him up?
He's your backup center.
He's not playing.
Okay.
Him and Sarge. Or I'll tell you like this. People talk about him and Sarge playing. Both of them are not playing. If you want to say one of them are playing, I'll concede to that. Both of them are not playing. How are both of them going to get on the court?
Oh, I'm not saying both of them are playing. No, but who's going to play the backup center job?
I give it to Max. He's 7'2". He's not playing a 4.
He's a rookie. Second
round pick. All right, and we want what's his name to get 30 minutes a night? Neek. He a rookie too. We can't have it both ways. We can't say, oh, we want Neek to play 30 minutes a game, and Max can't step on the floor at all for 4 minutes.
Well, hey, I hope Reno can play, and I hope that he steps on the floor, but he's going to have to prove that in training camp. And coming out of camp, almost guarantee that Drew Eubanks is your backup center. And let's be honest, last season we saw exactly what happened to Isaac Jones the second Doug Christie took over. Like, Isaac had actually earned some trust with Mike Brown. He never got that with Doug. And it's nothing personal. It's that Doug was sitting here, you know, scraping by trying to figure out how to survive down to assistant coaches and trading your best player and one of your leaders. And
he was down five assistant coaches.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he made sure to tell us it's me.
Yeah. No, it's tough, right? But that's kind of where you're looking at this season coming in, and like, those guys are going to play. And like, I like Isaac Jones as a player, but Doug is going to have to show some faith in Isaac Jones, because to me, he's either your backup four, or your backup five, or your backup four or five right now, because I would trust him more than I would that you're, you know, again, Drew Eubanks isn't going to do anything wrong. Mm-hmm. He's just not going to do a bunch of things right. You know, he's not going to be the reason you won games, but he also probably won't be the reason you lost games. And so you're just hoping to get by with him until Reynaud is ready or someone else is ready. You know, and the biggest thing for him was that he made $7 million or $8 million less a year than Valanciunas. And that's why Valanciunas is not here and Drew Eubanks is here. They wanted to play a little faster with the second team, but realistically, this is a financial decision, if ever there was one, where you're trying to clear up money to go do other things.
I pray to God no one ever describes my career the way that James Hamm just described Drew Eubanks. He's not going to do anything right. He's not going to do anything wrong. He's just kind of going to be there. I hope no one ever says, yo, that was D'Lo. He never did anything right. Never did anything wrong. He was just there.
And you just don't want to be a negative eight every time you go out on the box.
And I'll put it to you like this. Maybe I'm projecting when I say Drew Eubanks ain't going to play. I would not play him. I would not play him over Maxime Reynaud. I just wouldn't. Whatever Drew is going to bring, what I believe of him as a player, whatever he's going to bring to the table isn't that much better than what Maxime Reynaud can bring to the table. So I'll curtail that a little bit. I wouldn't play him. I wouldn't play Eubanks over Maxime. I just wouldn't.
But if you're realistically a first-year head coach and you have someone who knows where to be in defensive rotations, that knows what to do in specific situations in the NBA because he's been there, and he might not be, again, a world beater, but what he is somebody who understands his role and goes out and does the best as he can with the skill set that he has, sometimes that's a lot safer than going, hey, just going to throw it out there. Like, let's hope for the best. So I think it is possible that we see Reynaud play. I think it's possible we see Clifford play. But I also would add in that there's a high likelihood that Isaac Jones is going to play. And I don't think that Doug is comfortable enough as, you know, like realistically a first-year head coach to go out there with three what amounts to rookies in your rotation. Because Isaac Jones just didn't play enough last year to not really be considered a rookie. He was on a two-way. He played a lot more. We played plenty in Stockton. But, like, I don't see a world in which he's playing coming out of the shoot, out of the, you know, opening night, where he's running three guys out there that are super inexperienced in the NBA. I think you're going to start with Nee Clifford. He'll get time. Mm-hmm. And then he's going to slowly pepper in other players like Isaac Jones. And then he'll finally get to a point where it's like, okay, I feel that I've seen enough from Reynaud in practice, and he's getting better, he's getting stronger, he's doing all these things that I can go out there and play him. Now, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they come out of the, you know, opening night, like, here it is. You're like, what in the world? We're seeing these guys play. But that's tough. I mean, again, Mike Brown, we all know, like, it took so much for him to put Keon Ellis out there. And Keon Ellis was like 9-0 as a starter in his career.
Took a fan revolt to get him to play him.
Yeah. But that's typical for you know, if it's not a top tier, you know, like top five pick, top seven pick, you're not guaranteed any playing time at all in your rookie season. And especially a guy who's taken in the second round in Reynaud, and even a Nee Clifford taking 27th. You know, like, we can get all excited about, or 24th, we can get all excited about is Summer League, but that was Summer League. He looked competent. He looked like he knew what he's doing. He looked like he was, like he got it. You know, Kyle and I discussed this earlier. Like the second Tyrese Haliburton walked out on the floor, you're like, oh man, that kid gets it.
Mm-hmm.
The second Jason Williams stepped on the court, it was like, oh my gosh, look at this kid. Mm-hmm. But there hasn't, DeMarcus, the second DeMarcus walked on the court, it was like magic. The same with Tyreek Evans. But man, Thomas Robinson was the fifth pick in the draft. Never once did I think he got it, ever. Nick Stauskas, eighth pick, nope. Ben McLemore, nope. Willie Cauley-Stein, he had some flashes.
Papagiannis,
13th pick.
Papagiannis,
that dude could shoot
lost.
The ball. He could block shots. He could rebound. He couldn't get from point A to point B to do all of those things together. It's one thing if you stand on the court and you don't miss your jump shot. It's a whole other thing if you actually have to get on the court and actually move to that spot and get that jump shot. None of that connected. So it's tough, and that's where you have to sort of temper your expectations for rookie players, especially guys who are taken late first round and early second round.
I heard you and Kyle talking about this earlier, that the Kings starting lineup is not changing. What the Kings starting lineup is exactly what everybody's predicting it to be.
I think. Yeah. I mean, I'm pretty sure it's a Dennis, they went out and signed Dennis Schroeder to be a starter.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's Schroeder. I think it's pretty clear. It's Schroeder. It's Zach LaVine. It's DeMar DeRozan. It's Keegan Murray. It's Domantas Sabonis. Mm-hmm. Like, check in with me game 20. It might be totally different. Not totally different, but, you know, there might be a starter swapped out or something just because things aren't working. But outside of a last second trade here this weekend, I think there's a good chance that that's your starting lineup.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
You guys tried to make, I admired Kyle trying to get Keon Ellis in there somehow, but yeah, it wasn't.
Well, I mean, I could see a way in which you're like, hey, like DeMar, we need your scoring punch off the bench. We're going to move Zach to the small forward spot because we need shooting in the starting lineup. And we're going to move Keon into the starting lineup alongside Dennis Schroeder. We just need more defense and we need more shooting. And to be honest with you, that makes a lot of sense. Like, but I don't know that, number one, you can bench a guy making $48 million and hope that you might be able to trade him at some point. I don't know that that's the case. And I also, you know, you have this, it's all fine for us to act like they can bench DeMar DeRozan or, you know, ask him politely to move to the bench and play there, but that's a really, really big ask for Doug Christie to do. And I think it's more likely one of those guys plays 3 minutes, comes off the court, and then comes back in, and you know, so you mix up your lineup early, but out of respect, you're going to start the standard lineup.
And I was just going to say, we spent the hour talking about 3-point shooting. Like, you're not benching your clear best 3-point shooter in Zach LaVine.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not even close. Mm-hmm. He can shoot it, catch and shoot. He can shoot it off the bounce better than anybody in the roster.
We're going to be a Baker
the only one that's
Wines.
Close.
Sorry, Keon. Hammer. We're going to be at Baker Family Wines this Sunday. You want to come join us, D'Lo, Casey, and Dusty Baker.
Yeah.
We're going to be there drinking wine, watching football, playing games. Dusty will sign autographs. He'll sign bottles, man. It's going to be a great time. We're going to be giving stuff away. Again, this will be a, you know, the 32 Brew Street's a fantastic place, but that's a big spot. We tend to get separated when we're in 32 Brews. That's not going to happen at Baker Family Wines. We're going to be hanging out all together with Dusty Baker, watching these football games, these 1 o'clock football games going on this Sunday, West Sacramento, Baker Family Wines. You can head over to BakerFamilyWines.com right now. While you're there, join Dusty's Clubhouse. But please come hang out with us, watch the 49ers game. We'll keep an eye on the Raider game, Chiefs, Ravens, all of that good stuff this Sunday at 1 o'clock.
And make sure you put in that promo code KIFM if you're trying to play a Prize Picks lineup for college football like I'm doing with Penn State and Oregon. Tap into that. Put in the promo code KIFM to get $50 off your first $5 lineup. Must be present in a certain state. Prize Picks, it's good to be right.
Oh, boy, look at just securing the Bagley. Look at that. How about that? Great stuff from our man James Hamm, as always. Media Day is coming up on Monday. We'll discuss it with Matt George when he talks with us tomorrow. And, man, what a kickoff to week four.
Ooh.
An NFC West battle on Thursday Night Football that we'll talk about tomorrow beginning at 10 a.m. with James Hamm and Kyle Mattson on the Insiders here on Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320.
Vamos, Gigantes, next year.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
True North convenience stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.